Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world here in the Turn It, Don't Burn It Turkey Studios this week in downtown Portland, and we welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network. Do you like
you
that?
You crack me up.
Well, my old friend Meathead from AmazingRibs.com is with me today, and we're going to be talking turkey. That's why the thing, and I guess it's more like a chicken, but I'm not sure.
If I was a turkey, I'd come running.
There you go. Our music this week is from the Stones, because after Thanksgiving, I always feel like I'm stoned, man, when I eat all that food. But so we're doing that. And this part of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest, beef you can feel good about. And when it comes Christmas, about a month from now, Meathead's going to join us again, and we're going to be talking a lot about prime rib. So
you bet.
You'll get your beef fixed then. Anyway, welcome back to the show, bud.
Always fun to talk to you. It's always fun to talk to somebody who knows how to cook.
I appreciate that. I do. And I was telling you off the air, I cooked for about 150 of my closest non-friends a couple days ago. And
that's a big gig, dude, you know?
Yeah.
My record is 200, but it gave me the conniptions, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you off the air what my record is, because I don't want to waste time, but you'll need to reach for that single malt when you're done. Anyway, Turkey Day. Turkey Day is, when this show airs, Turkey Day is about 5-6 days away. And I thought we would start just talking about getting your turkey at the store. You know, there's a little confusion out there, misinformation, whatever you want to call it, Meathead, about what is, one, a fresh turkey, what constitutes that, and two, I'm not saying don't buy a frozen turkey. They're fine, you know, if for whatever reason. Just there's some things you need to watch out for, too, when you're buying frozen turkeys. Take it away.
I tell you, I buy frozen turkey, and I'll tell you why. Turkey's fine food, but we eat it only once a year.
Right.
And so these farmers time their hatching and raising and growing and slaughter for Thanksgiving, and they have a facility that can only handle so much. And so they start slaughtering weeks before Thanksgiving. To get maximum use out of their facility.
Sure.
And if you buy what is called a fresh bird in the store, it may not be really fresh. It may have been slaughtered 2 weeks ago. A week is no big deal. I mean, a meat will stay fresh for a week or so. But 2-3 weeks of a fresh bird, fat starts to go rancid. Protein starts to oxidize. I would rather have a bird that was slaughtered and went right into the freezer, fresh, frozen. Same thing with seafood. You know that. You're out there on the West Coast. Fresh, frozen is second to fresh. But if you can't get really fresh fish or turkey, fresh, frozen is pretty good. So I get the frozen bird. And if you haven't started defrosting your frozen bird, get it out of the freezer now. Start the defrosting process in your fridge now.
Yep.
But there's also this very weird legal definition of what constitutes fresh. And USDA defines fresh as cold as 26 degrees. Well, at 26 degrees, it's still a bowling ball. And then you've got these grocers who will take a frozen bird and defrost it and sell it as fresh. So for me, I buy a frozen bird. I defrost it. I don't think there's a significant loss in quality.
I really don't think so either. I mean, I've had literally really fresh birds because I know a couple guys that raise turkeys around here. And in the past, they've been very kind and given me a fresh bird. And I can tell a difference in the flavor. And that was good. But, you know, if you're just going to do kind of the constitutionally correct Thanksgiving dinner, as it were, and, you know, you're going to go get your butter ball, or I guess you can't do Jennie-O because Jennie-O just pulled 46,000 tons of turkeys off the market this morning. For some salmonella stuff, 46 tons, I guess. Maybe I got the number.
Well, look at. Let's just. Yeah, I happen to be married to a very famous food safety expert.
Sure.
Who works for the FDA, a food safety scientist, editor of Food Microbiology magazine, and everything I've read and she's taught me is there is salmonella on almost all poultry.
Sure.
Now, some of it has more, some of it has less, but salmonella just gets into birds, and it's pretty hard to avoid, and it spreads during the slaughtering and defeathering process, and it's not a problem. And the reason it is a problem because people don't cook the birds properly.
Correct.
But salmonella dies in 5 seconds at 165 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It takes maybe 25 to 30 seconds at 160 degrees. It takes longer at 155 degrees. But the point is, if you cook the bird properly, you'll kill the bugs. And the only way to be sure you've cooked the bird properly and that you haven't overcooked it so you turn it into cardboard is with a good digital thermometer, and you can buy one for about $30, and it will pay for itself over and over and over and over and over, because heck, an overcooked steak is a waste of a lot of money, and an undercooked chicken or turkey could cost you a trip to the emergency room.
Right, so, right.
On AmazingRibs.com, we have a electrical engineer, and we buy every digital thermometer we can find, and we send it to him, and he runs it through special equipment and tests it to see how fast it reads, how accurate it is, and we have ratings and reviews of digital thermometers and links to places where you can buy them. We don't sell anything. And go there, find a digital thermometer, and you might even be able to still get one via overnight shipping before Thanksgiving. If not, get down to the local grocery or hardware store and get a good digital thermometer. Spend about $20 to $30. Get one that reads precisely in less than 5 seconds.
Right. Right. No, you got to have that. And if you do that and you follow some just basic good culinary rules in prepping those birds, you're going to be fine. You know, I think.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, you watch out for cross-contamination. If you're going to rinse the bird, now the scientists tell us not to. And the reason they say don't is because you hit that bird with rushing water, and a lot of it aerosolizes. You don't see it, but it goes up into the atmosphere. And right next to the sink is your drain board where you put your clean dishes. So if there's salmonella in that aerosol that comes off the bird, it'll land on your clean dishes or on your dish drain. If you're going to rinse it, and they say don't rinse it, but it's pretty hard not to do it, you know,
yeah.
Especially if it's feels a little slippery. Just don't put a lot of pressure on the, you know, keep the sink low speed, rinse it gentle, try not to splatter, wash your hands thoroughly in handling, don't let it come into contact with the salads. Everybody's going to be fine.
Yeah, you can do that, and, you know, use a nice quality, if you will, paper towel, if you're going to kind of, after you've dumped it over and rinsed, you know, the excess water and moisture
right.
is coming out, you know, just kind of pat it dry real easily, especially in the cavity, because you're going to look in that cavity and you're going to panic if you've not done this before, and you're going to see little traces of blood and stuff in that cavity. And like you said, you know, at 165 degrees, you're not going to worry about that. But if you've not done it before, it's going to be a problem. We got to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. Meathead and I are going to be back and talk some more about bark, bark, bark. turkeys right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and today we've got Meathead with us, and we're talking, instead of chicken, go ahead and make your gobble noise. There you go. Okay. If you have any questions, you can email us.
It's better than your damn chicken.
It is. It is. I surrender on that one. You can email us at Barbecue Nation, that's BBQ Nation, at alphamediausa.com. We're on Facebook, that's Barbecue Nation with JT, and we're on Twitter and all that stuff, and say hi to a couple of our affiliates here, KSEY down in Seymour, Texas, KUFO Freedom here in 970 in the Portland area. Okay, now I got all that stuff done. So when you go to the store and you're going to pick out a bird, what do you pick out?
Well, all right, let's do a little physics here.
Okay.
The thickness of meat is what determines how long it takes to cook.
Right.
The thicker the meat is, the longer it takes for heat to penetrate from the outside to the inside. So if you buy a big bird, you're going to get a thicker breast, and it's going to take longer to cook. Not only will it take longer to cook, but you got to picture this. Hot air cooks the outside of the bird, but hot air doesn't get into the meat.
Right.
It's the hot meat on the outside of the bird that transmits the energy down towards the center like a bucket brigade. So the hot air cooks the outside of the bird, but the outside of the bird is what cooks the inside of the bird. So you're cooking at, let's say, 325, which I think is a really good number.
Right.
That will crisp the skin, but it's not too hot so that it cooks it too fast. You're building energy in the exterior of the bird. It's working its way up to around 212. It won't go above 212 until it dries out. You don't want that to happen. So it'll work its way up to 212, but 160 is your ideal temp. So if you have a very thick bird, the exterior can get up to 180 or 190 before the center gets to safe temp of 160.
Mm-hmm.
So get a thinner or a lighter weight bird. I would rather cook 215s than a 30 or 210s than a 20. They'll cook faster. They'll be moister.
Right.
They won't overcook on the exterior.
No, I think that's a good idea. And excuse me for a second. The trick at my house is, everybody, and people have probably heard me say this before, but we are a house of dark meat eaters, if you will, okay? So I always end up buying two or three extra big drumsticks, and I try to buy the biggest ones I can, and I throw them in the smoker, and I do this, you know, and I rub them and do all the stuff. And that is a staple, because I notice when we do have the big birds and, you know, everything's trimmed up and off the carcass and all that, when we say, go ahead and take some food home, they'll take my damn dark meat and they leave me with the breast meat. And so anyway, keep a balance
meat,
in there.
I mean, it makes a good sandwich.
Oh, sure.
And it also makes good turkey pot pie. There's a lot you can do with breast meat. I'm a dark meat guy myself, too, because it's moister.
Yeah.
Dark meat has more fat. It has more myoglobin. It stays moister than white meat. It doesn't cook as fast as white meat. But we go to my brother-in-law's house, and they'll be about 30, and I've been doing this for years. And they're a white meat gang, which just suits me fine. And we often have there's two birds served. He does one, the old Norman Rockwell style stuff with stuffing in the oven, and I do a spatchcock smoked bird. And often the drumsticks are left on the table, which is just mind-boggling.
I don't understand that. They don't know what they're missing, or they're ill-educated, is the only thing I can say.
No, taste is a matter of taste.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But, you know, it's my mom, and I'm sure a lot of people, because you and I we're not exactly the same age, but we're in the same generation. And that way, see, I don't have to give up either one of our ages. How's that?
Yeah.
And, but my mom used to just cook the holy hell out of the turkey, and it was always dry, you know, and then she's basting it the whole time. And it was like, I figured out at a pretty early age, if you keep opening that oven door, that temperature, you know, it takes a few minutes for it to get back up to temp. I mean, it wasn't that hard to figure out for, you know, a kid, but, and I think that's the old, you know, the old, if you will, misnomer of, again, back to the salmonella, or we just, you know, said you would get sick if you ate turkey juice or something. And there's so much more to do these days, and different approaches to it, that Thanksgiving has now become fun again, I think, for people to cook.
Well, I'm going to rock your world.
Go ahead.
Opening that oven door is not a big problem. Remember, the hot air cooks the outside of the bird, but the outside of the bird cooks the inside of the bird.
Right.
Opening that oven door is letting some of the hot air out. But the outside of the bird is already loaded up with energy,
mm-hmm.
and it has little or no effect. Now, we've done this on the smokers and the grills, where it is an old barbecue myth that if you're looking, you ain't cooking, because it's always been believed that when you open it, you're going to cool down and slow the cooking. But in fact, the meat holds the energy. It's slow to collect energy, it's slow to transmit energy, and it's slow to give it up. So you can open the grill, open the oven, you lose hot air, but when you close it, it rebuilds that hot air in that oven rapidly, and the meat hardly notices it. And we've done it. We've got temperature charts. So that's not the issue. The issue is the basting is making the skin soft and
right.
and wet, and I want my skin crunchy.
Yep.
I want it crisp. And to get that, you got to get it up to around 325. Now, a lot of barbecue guys like me and you like to cook around 225. That's a good number. It's a basic rule of meat science that the hotter you cook, the more the proteins shrink and they squeeze out water. So all these recipes say cook your bird at 450. They're really a recipe for good, crisp skin and good, crisp meat. You're going to dry out the surface of the meat. You're going to make jerky on the exterior. It's going to be dry before the interior gets up to temp. So get the temp. When in general, the lower you cook, the better the meat will be, the less moisture will be squeezed out, the more tender and more juicy. But you've got to get it up to around 325 to render fat in the skin and get the skin crispy. So 325 is what I consider to be the magic number for turkey.
There you go.
Chicken.
We're going to take another break, and we're going to be back with Meathead and talk more turkey and Thanksgiving delights coming up right here on the Barbecue Nation Radio Network. How's that? Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation and our special Thanksgiving edition with my buddy Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com. Check out that website if you've not done that yet. This portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest comes beef. You can feel good about, be proud to serve. And my friends down at Barkley Buy Sell Pawn in the North Valley's largest pawn shop, I guess, buy, sell, trade shop. It's huge. You want to stop by there in Woodburn. That's Barclays. Also, don't forget, you can email us, barbecuenation@alphamedia.com. Check us out on SoundCloud. We're breaking new records on SoundCloud for everybody that's listening to the show via the podcast versions. That's Barbecue Nation with JT. Okay, back with Meathead here. Are you ready to do your our duet here?
Yes.
Okay, one, two, three. Here we go. Okay.
Jesus.
They better bleep that.
Yeah, I think we'll probably take care of that. So, various ways to, like you said, various ways to cook. You can do the conventional roasting, but, you know, you can spatchcock it or butterfly it, whatever you do. What? Tell us what Meathead does.
I'm a spatchcock guy. Yep. I mean, the ideal, the best way is to break it into parts. Cut your thigh on drumstick apart from the main body. Remove the breast lobes and with the wings, and then set the carcass aside. And by the way, please don't throw out that carcass. That carcass is just packed with flavor in between the bones. Take that carcass and cram it into a stock pot. Cover it with water. Simmer it gently. Don't boil it. And just pull all the flavor out. Cook it down to about half the volume. Taste it, and you've got this marvelous turkey stock. And you can use that for rice or anything else. If you want, you can throw onions, carrots, celery, herbs in there and make a turkey soup. But don't lose that carcass. Okay, back to the ideal way to cook it is to break it down into parts. That way you can control the temperature on them because they're different thicknesses and they're different kinds of muscles. Dark meat has more fat and more myoglobin. It cooks at a different rate. And also the thigh and the drumstick are thinner than the breast, so they cook at a different rate. And so you can temp them individually with a good digital thermometer and get each one to its optimum temperature. For me, breast is 160. Thigh and drumstick 170. And so I like to break them up, but everybody wants to have the Norman Rockwell bird. They want that big old bird. And if you do the big old Norman Rockwell bird, you've got a couple of issues. You've made a bigger thermal mass. It takes longer than if you break it down. And there's another method, the spatchcock. We'll talk about that. It takes longer than if you break it down or spatchcock it because you've built a bigger thermal mass, and the cavity is an air bubble, and it's cool in the cavity. And if you've ever noticed, it doesn't brown in the cavity. Now, brown is beautiful. Brown is the byproduct of the Maillard reaction. It's when heat and proteins mix, and it changes the chemical reactions, the chemistry of the proteins, and you get this dark brown surface like the exterior. So if you want that cavity to brown, you've got to open up the bird. You've got to cut out the backbone and lay it out flat, which is butterflying it, or spatchcocking. I don't have any idea where that word came from, but it sounds vaguely naughty. and you got to spatchcock this bird, lay it out flat, and now the cavity is exposed to heat, and you can brown both sides. You build more flavor, and you've made the bird thinner, so it will cook faster, and you'll have less moisture loss. I do it that way because I can then bring it in, and I can fake it. I can fold it back up and make it look like a Norman Rockwell bird when I present it, because you got to make the presentation. Oh, it's so beautiful. And when you'd cook it outdoors, it gets that golden, dark mahogany sometimes color that you just can't get indoors. Indoors, you can get a little golden. You maybe end up pale, but it looks wan. It looks like somebody from Oregon in the middle of January. but you know, if you do it outdoors, it looks like somebody from Hawaii, and it just is mouthwatering. And look, you got to cook outdoors because you got to save room inside for the only things that are more important about Thanksgiving than the turkey.
Pie.
And what are they?
Pie. And stuffing.
And stuffing.
Yep.
Pie and stuffing. You need the pie and stuffing in the indoor oven. Turkey goes outside, leaves room for pie. Cannot have pie. And frankly, sometimes I think I'd rather eat the stuffing than the bird. But and that's the other thing. Don't stuff this bird. I know that's tradition, but what you've done when you stuff it is you've made a bowling ball. You've made this big thermal mass, and we've talked about this already. It takes much longer for the heat to get down to the center. By the time it gets to the center and makes the center safe,
yes, it does.
The exterior is jerky.
Well, that's so jerky, and a lot of times, in my experience, Meathead, a lot of times that stuffing is just kind of The best part of the stuffing that if you stuff the bird is the part that sticks out through the cavity.
Yes, the crusty part.
The crusty part. The rest of it's all soggy.
Yeah. And, hey, I got a tip for you guys. Go to my website, AmazingRibs.com, and look up stuffing, and you'll find a recipe for stuffing muffins. I did this the first time about 10 years ago, and we do it every year. Everybody loves it. You get a muffin tin.
Yep.
You have to make your stuffing formula a little differently. It needs a little more egg. And you put the stuffing in the muffin tin, and everybody gets a stuffing muffin or a stuffing muffin or a stuffing
muffin.
a muffing. And it's exactly the right portion for one person. You scoop it out, and it's crunchy all around. You get the big crunchy dome, and you get crunchy sides. And if you butter up that muffin tin really good, it gets nice and buttery. And it just looks cool, this muffin of stuffing sitting on the plate next to the turkey. So make stuffing muffins better than putting it in the bird. Tastes better, better texture, and it really looks cool.
I like it. I guess, you know, I've already muffin stuffing. I like that.
Yeah.
Muffin stuffing. No, I'm, you know, over the years, I mean, because some people, especially the people that are like our parents' generation, will come back and they're pretty insistent that you need to stuff the bird.
And yeah, I mean, it just is traditional. That's the Norman Rockwell bird.
Yeah.
And we face that. My brother-in-law, his family insists. He does it in the oven. He does it in a roasting pan. He stuffs it. And it's delightful. But it does tend to get dry on the outside. Your stuffing is soggy. I finally convinced him to use a digital thermometer. That pop-up thermometer is not accurate. It doesn't pop normally till 180. The meat's way overcooked. Get rid of that. Get your digital thermometer. And don't use those old Bile thermometers you got in the kitchen. They're not accurate, and they take 30 seconds or longer to read. Just spend the $30 and get a good digital.
And don't you want to tell them to check the temp in two or three different places,
you got to check the temp both in the center of the breast, and if you're stuffing, you got to get temperature reading from inside the stuffing.
Yep.
Because that interior of the bird, you talked about it, it's got a lot of raw meat and juices and maybe even a little leftover blood, and that's got to be cooked, otherwise the stuffing's going to be contaminated.
Yeah.
So you've got to cook that. And now, to get it safe in the center, it takes much longer, and you're going to dry out the bird. Don't do it. If you have to, cook the bird whole without the stuffing, and then before you serve it, cram the stuffing in there so it looks good.
And one other thing really quick before we go to break, and you address this in your book, and I've always done this. You get, when you buy a frozen bird, it's got those little plastic holders on the legs, you know?
Yeah.
Make sure you take those off before you cook it. Jeez.
Yeah, well, they're meant for lifting, and they can withstand the oven temp. But here's another thing. If you let, you know, people always trust their turkeys and chickens. But now you're pressing the thigh and the drumstick up against the body. So think of a bird. It's just like you. Your anatomy. Those are the legs, just like your legs. If you squeeze your thighs together, the sun doesn't get in there. Well, the heat doesn't get in there. You can't brown. And so that skin that's inside the thigh and the legs stays soft, rubbery, and pale. Let the freak flags fly. Let the legs hang out and get tanned inside there. Put a little foil on the end of the drumstick so they don't burn, and the tips of the wings, and you're fine. Let that stuff fly out loose.
There you go. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. When we come back, wrap up, we're going to talk a little bit about brining and dry brining and seasoning your bird. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com. Check out his website. That's the only thing I'm going to tell you, AmazingRibs.com. That's tons of information there. Anyway, a couple things we want to cover before we have to wrap.
Tell them about the book, too.
Oh, yes. my bad. Meathead, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling. This is, I'm telling you, I've said this before, and I've talked to a lot of authors. They've all written fine books. This is the book you need right here.
That's, oh, how nice.
That's what I'm going to tell you. It's the book you need. So anyway, roasting pans.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about roasting pans. Okay, if you put your turkey on one of those V-shaped racks in a high-sided roasting pan, what happens is you it doesn't cook the bottom properly. And think about this. How many times you lift the turkey up, the bottom is tan and soggy, and, yep. and the skin never crisp. That's because there's water in that pan. That water can't go beyond 212 degrees. So no matter what your oven temp is, say you're cooking at 325, the top of the breast is at 325 air temp, but the air temp in the pan above the water right below the turkey surrounding the lower half of the turkey is down around 250, 270. 75 at the most, and so it's not cooking at the same rate as the rest of the bird. This is another reason why you got to cook the bird outside, because when you put the bird on the grill grate, it's surrounded by warm air, top, bottom, left, right,
right.
And you'll get the bottom golden as well as the top. And by the way, this silly idea that you cook it breast down is just bunk. The juices do not run around inside the bird like some sort of superhighway. The juices are locked within fibers, locked within the cells. They don't migrate. They don't shift. Whether breast up or breast down, they're not going anywhere. That's silly. And if you cook it breast down, then you're going to get grill marks all over the skin on the breast, and that kind of looks goofy.
Well, you can also rip the skin off, because I've done it.
Yeah.
I tried it a couple times. And
yes.
when you go to flip it back, because you have to flip it back upright, you know, to get
yeah.
the get the brown on
yeah.
the top, you'll rip the skin off. So
yeah, if you cook it on a grill or even in your oven, put it on the grate, not in a pan. Put the pan underneath the grate. Yeah, your grate will get dirty. You're going to have to pull the grate out of the oven after you're done cooking and scrub the grate. Oh, well. But put the pan under the grate, catch the drippings, and what I do is I put carrots, celery, onions, apples, apple juice, wine, herbs in that drip pan, and now I'm building a stock, and the juices drip into that drip pan, and especially if you cook it outdoors, now you're getting smoky juices, and that stock is the basis for your gravy. You don't need to add flour. It's just fantastic all by itself. You strain it just before you start carving the bird, and if you have to, you can cook it down a little bit to make it more concentrated, and that's all you need, and it will penetrate the meat. It'll moisten the meat. If you put flour in there, starch are these huge molecules. They just sit on top of the meat. They don't yeah. penetrate the meat.
Right.
And this stuff, if you do it that way, and I describe this whole process on AmazingRibs.com. If you do it this way, when you're done, you'll have about a quart of juice, of stock, and that is fantastic as the basis of your turkey pot pie with the leftovers. I just drink it by the cup.
There you go.
It's phenomenal.
Okay, we're running out of time, as usual, when you and I get to talking. But we haven't talked about dry brining, so let's hit dry brining hard.
Okay, real fast. Salt is unlike anything else on your spice rack. It's the magic rock. Salt is this little tiny molecule, two atoms, sodium and chloride, and they're cool because when they get wet, they get electric charges, and they can penetrate right through the skin, right through the meat, and they can work their way down into the center of the meat. And when they're down in there, they do alter the structure of the protein so that they help protein hold on to moisture. It does not pull moisture out of the bird. It moisturizes the bird, and it flavorizes without changing. It doesn't alter the flavor. It amplifies the flavor. Salt is magic. You must salt your bird, and the best thing to do is to salt it the day before so that the salt has time to work its way down in. None of the other spices that you put on there, none of the sage, none of the rosemary or thyme or garlic or black pepper can penetrate. They're too large. This is a scientific fact. It's not a rumor. It's not myth. They cannot penetrate. They can sit on the surface. They can get in some little cracks and crevices, but down in the center of the breast, there is no garlic flavor. There is no sugar flavor. And so if you dunk this bird in a big old vat of apple juice and garlic and black pepper, you're doing the center no good. The salt that's in that vat will penetrate, will do its job, but all the other spices can't go beyond the surface. So you've wasted all this apple juice, all this pepper, all this garlic, when all you need to do is take the bird out of the plastic, give it a good sprinkling of salt the day before, put it in the fridge, give it a chance for the salt to penetrate, and then any time before you cook, you can sprinkle all the seasoning and herbs you want on the skin or under the skin and into the cavity, and away you go.
There you go. Meathead Goldwyn, AmazingRibs.com, and my dear friend, thank you for being with us, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, and same to you, and same to all your listeners. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's such a great time. It's a holiday about food and family.
That's
it. And you know, I like to say what's more important than what's on the plate is who's in the chairs.
There you go. Everybody out there listening, like Meathead said, have a happy Thanksgiving. Remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. We'll see you next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Take care, everybody.